One year since the provincial government declared a public health emergency over the surging number of drug overdoses in BC, 914 people in BC died from overdoses in 2016, and on Tuesday, we heard about a wall being erected in Vancouver's downtown East Side for community members to write the names of victims they knew as an effort to honor their memory. And yesterday, we spoke with Provincial Health Officer Perry Kendall about what drives people to abuse drugs, and he talked about the number of Indigenous people with a history of trauma who are overrepresented in those statistics. So we thought we'd delve a little deeper into the lives of one of the people who died in the past year and try to understand what happened. Now, last November, a memorial was held for Marnie Crassweller, who died in a single-room occupancy hotel. Marnie was well-known and admired among many in the downtown East Side. And on the coast's Michelle Elliott has her story.
She's tiny, tiny, maybe 5 feet.
Janice Abbott is picturing Marnie Crassweller.
She had a look about her. It was always jeans and often a leather jacket and running shoes.
Janice is head of ATIRA, Women's Resource Society, and she works with vulnerable women in Vancouver, women fleeing violence and abuse, women struggling with addiction and homelessness.
Marnie, and all the time that I knew her, even when she was living on the beach, she always looked after herself. I used to ask her, her hair, she had fabulous hair, really thick, black, and it was always clean. She was always clean. Her clothes were always clean. And I'd ask her, like, you're living on English Bay, and she said she knew where every public bathroom, every public shower, she would bathe in the ocean. She'd go for a swim at the ocean if that's, and it was important to her.
It was more than a decade ago when Marnie Crassweller first walked into the ATIRA office on Cordova Street. She started dropping in almost every day, and that is how she and Janice got to know each other.
I would see her. I would talk to her every day for 2 years. I would say, we have a room. Do you want to come inside? And every day for 2 years, she would say no.
But Marnie kept coming, and one day, she agreed to move in.
Anyway, on this one day, she said yes. And we moved her into the rice block within probably a couple of hours because we didn't want her to change her mind.
Over the next 10 years, Marnie continued to move around from one ATIRA building to the next, preferring to stay alone in single-room occupancy hotels. She's often described as independent, restless, resourceful, and strong.
Marnie was incredibly bright, very articulate. She had an infectious, loud, booming kind of laugh that you could hear across the community.
Marnie Crassweller was born on May 16, 1967. Some of the early details of her life are hard to verify. Family members and old contacts are hard to find. One person I called didn't want to talk. She was also a very private person. For her part, Janice Abbott didn't press too hard, but over the years, in bits and pieces, Marnie opened up. They met regularly, often for breakfast at Deacon's Corner on Main Street. Marnie told Janice she was from Manitoba, that she had been adopted as a child by a family in Vancouver. By around the year 2000, Marnie was homeless and binning in the West End.
What I remember about talking to her is that, you know, she had days where she was in a really good space. And we talked about the state of the downtown East Side. We talked about the things that she hoped, her hopes and her dreams. And then she had other days that were difficult when she sometimes she'd been drinking and she was just really in a bad space. And she would talk more about the kinds of trauma that she'd experienced throughout her life. She'd show up at the office and we'd have a quick chat, or I'd meet her for breakfast and she'd talk about having experienced some kind of abuse by someone. Sometimes it was physical, sometimes it was verbal abuse. She understood she was stereotyped, that she experienced racism.
What made me go inside was because one night I took a really bad beating and my buddy...
That's the voice of Marnie Crassweller. She was interviewed for a video called In Her Voice as part of a presentation made by ATIRA.
So this couple, dressed in nines, comes running out and hated us just simply because we were Aboriginal and we were homeless.
The video shows a photo of Marnie standing beside her cart on a sidewalk. She has short, choppy hair and glasses, and she's wearing a checkered vest.
And then they dragged me over to the curb, and
her resilience in the face of those traumatic experiences made her much admired in the Atira community. She was one of 30 women honored as part of the group's 30-year anniversary. The write-up by her nominators is long. One person writes, "She's wonderful, even in the darkest days." But the dark days took a toll. Marnie spoke now and then about her drug use. She went into treatment a couple of times.
But it wasn't something that was obvious. You would never have known, and it wasn't something that she was, she talked about a lot. And so I do know that there were people who were surprised that she had died of a drug overdose. Absolutely.
On November 16th, 2016, Janice got a phone call. Marnie had been found dead. It was a suspected overdose.
It kind of bowled me over when I heard that she died, though why I should have been more shocked about her than anybody else, I don't know, but it did shock me.
Ken Liotie got to know Marnie through another aspect of her life, binning. Ken is one of the founders of the bottle depot United We Can, and Marnie became just as connected in that community as in Atira.
So I got to know her better, partly because I was just so darn impressed with how well she expressed herself and how honestly. I don't know. I guess some people touch us deeper than others, I guess.
Ken says what really opened his eyes was the memorial held for Marnie a couple of weeks after she died. Almost 100 people showed up.
It was at least as eloquent, maybe more eloquent than she could be, in terms of how a community of friends came together in our struggling downtown East Side and expressed their love in a way that I only wish Marnie could have been there to hear. I didn't realize the extent to which she was there for other people. She went through her struggles, and people knew that she was going through her struggles. But I heard repeatedly how she dropped whatever she was doing so that she could help others. On a casual level, I can understand how people can kind of almost become dismissive of the tragedy of this, to say, this current struggle with drugs, and sort of argue away in their intellect why it's their problem, they choose to do what they do. But you know, we all get to where we are for reasons, and none of us can, I don't think, really genuinely walk in somebody else's shoes.
It's hands holding the world. There's a turtle.
A blue painting hangs on the wall in Janice Abbott's office. It was by Marnie, and she wrote a poem at the top.
She writes, "I let myself feel my feelings with each new turning point in life. Loving people support me emotionally. I create safe space to be emotionally honest."
The BC Coroner Service is still investigating Marnie Crassweller's death. A report is coming. But for those who knew her in the downtown East Side, her death somehow brought the overdose crisis closer to home than before.
Kind of a wake-up call or an eye-opener or a demarcation of this crisis for us.
Janice Abbott is planning another memorial for Marnie this December, about a year after her death. In the 5 months since Marnie died, Janice thinks of her often.
It's odd to, you know, I'll be walking past Deacon's Corner on my way home or something, and there's just sort of this stark reminder that I'm just not going to see her again.
And I think a lot of homelessness would be dissipated if people actually went and talked to these people, not just once, but repeatedly, because you're not going to, people don't trust, right? And if they see somebody more than once, then they're going to start opening up, right? And
for CBC Radio, I'm Michelle Elliott.
I was homeless and live at English Bay Beach, right? Anyhow, I'd find myself there quite often, setting up my little bed and everything, and then realizing, I got a place.
Thanks to Michelle Elliott for that piece. Michelle's a story producer with us here on the coast.